You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
First up today, Guy, listening in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, listening on the web. Hi, Guy.
Hey, Hank, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
All right, good talking to you again. Listen, I've got a question because I've been hearing a lot of this modern-day resurrection stuff, and I went to a Bible college out in Pennsylvania, in Export, and they were talking about they had an alumni that was raised from the dead. He was dead 8 hours. He was in the morgue. He had the tag on his toe and everything, and his mom couldn't accept it. She started praying and weeping, and he was raised from the dead, and he testifies about this all the time. I don't know his name, but I just want your view on this modern-day resurrection, because I know God is no respecter of person, or, you know, and then you got Hebrews 10:29, I believe it is, that says that, you know, it's appointed for me and wants to dive into judgment. So I just want to see your take on that.
Well, certainly, if you look at the Bible, there are a handful of resurrections that you find there. So God has no problem whatsoever raising the dead. Jesus Christ, for example, raised Lazarus from the dead. But I can tell you, as president of the Christian Research Institute, that I have examined over the years now quite literally hundreds of supposed resurrections from the dead. And every time I began to ask the hard questions, I ended up being stonewalled. I never really got the details that are necessary. And one would imagine that if you really know about someone who was genuinely raised from the dead, in other words, someone who had died and now has been resurrected, not just a near-death experience, but an actual death experience, one would imagine that the details would certainly be there. But in hundreds of cases, I have found out that the details are not there. I spent some time looking into Pastor Don Piper, because here's a man who is a modern-day resurrection, at least by his account. He says he died on January 18, 1989, and then he says, immediately after I died, I went straight to heaven. Now, if he is to be believed, he is singularly unique in human history. Again, as I said, there are a handful of resurrections recorded in the Bible, but none apart from Christ himself were permitted to record their experience in the text of sacred scripture. But Pastor Piper not only says he was resurrected from the dead, but talks about what happened while he was in heaven and records that in one of the best-selling books of Christian genre. Now think about this with respect to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul never claimed to be resurrected from the dead, but he did claim to go to the third heaven. And he did not so much as countenance writing a 67th book of the Bible titled 90 Minutes in Heaven. And though he was caught up to paradise and says, as the text tells us, 2 Corinthians 12, heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell, he humbly refrained from boasting so that no one would think more of him than was warranted, and he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. Of course, in sharp distinction to the Apostle Paul, Pastor Piper is more than willing to relate his surpassingly great experience in person and in print. In fact, he seems so convinced that he had an actual death experience that he prophesied to a global television audience that because he had already died and people only die once, Jesus would return within his very own lifetime. Again, I would say that it is highly unlikely that he actually experienced a resurrection from the dead. And we spent some time looking into this, but even if he did, what he claims he saw in heaven does not correspond with what the Bible says about heaven. And as I just pointed out, those who have been there, like Lazarus, remember Jesus healed Lazarus, not just from a sickness, but from death itself. He was already stinking. He was not permitted to tell us anything about what he experienced while he was dead. Now, the same thing, of course, is true, as I just recounted, with respect to the Apostle Paul. Though he didn't die, he went to the third heaven, but he did not share anything about what he saw there. So the only information that we have on heaven comes from Jesus Christ himself. So again, going back to the resurrections and all the stories that are told post-resurrection, either the resurrection doesn't check out or the story doesn't check out.
Right. You know, Hank, I'm glad I called you tonight because I was really struggling because I went to a Pentecostal holiness school and they were teaching that in the last days they're going to lay hands on the sick, they're going to raise the dead. I have no problem believing in the healing of the sick because I do have a healing ministry. I know that from God, but I don't broadcast it, if you know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this resurrection thing. I just can't believe that God's going to take certain people to heaven and back to tell a story, or to hell, because some of these people actually went to hell and back. I just believe what the Bible says. We die once, and that's it.
But we don't have a living prophet today to verify these kinds of revelations. And that was necessary for the biblical writers themselves who are being carried along by the Holy Spirit. So there's no one to ratify a modern-day prophecy. But as far as what is being told with respect to healing, remember, yes, God can heal, and I believe God does heal, and God can raise from the dead. But these are not normative events. If they were, we wouldn't call them miracles. What is true of the human condition is that all of us die of our last disease. The death rate is one per person, and we're all going to make it. Got to leave it at that. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim in Louisiana. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
My question, I don't have the verses in front of me, but in Joshua and Samuel, it references the book of Jasher. And I was wondering why it would reference a book that was not in the Bible. And was it inspired by God what's the deal with the book of Jasher?
Well, there's nothing wrong whatsoever with the Bible taking something that is correct and communicating that. You find that not only in the Old Testament and the places that you mentioned. And by the way, there are two places in the Old Testament. One is in 2 Samuel, the other is in Joshua chapter 10. But the same thing happens in Jude. Jude takes the information from a pseudepigraphal book and recapitulates it because what was in the book was true. And this is what's going on with the book of Jasher. It's a lost book, but it was at the time a compendium of poetic songs that detailed very important events in the history of Israel. For example, Joshua's poem concerning the sun and the moon at the Battle of Gibeon, and David's lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan. So while it's not inspired, while it's not on the same level as Scripture, that does not mean it cannot contain truth. All truth is God's truth, and therefore it can contain truth, and that truth can be communicated, and that's precisely what happens. So I've got truth in my book, Has God Spoken, but I don't suppose that it is inspired on the same level as the Scriptures. Back to the phone lines, we will talk next to Adam in Fresno, California. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Hank. I have a question. When it comes to prayer, you know, is it right to pray to Christ? Now, I know that it says you've asked anything in my name. So there's we have a little question here. Is it wrong to pray to Christ, or is it okay? Or should we just pray to the Heavenly Father and ask in Jesus' name?
Well, the pattern of prayer is given by Jesus himself, our Father who art in heaven. So we pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. But to answer your question specifically, is it wrong? Of course it's not wrong. We're addressing God, and we can address the persons individually within the Godhead. we can address Jesus in thanking him for the salvation that he so freely offers to us. We can thank the Holy Spirit who empowers us so that what we do in service of the Lord is not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. So it is perfectly legitimate on the basis of the biblical precedent to address each person of the Trinity. But the typical way, the model way, as it were, is to address the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and so forth. So Jesus himself gave us the model prayer, and that model prayer starts by addressing the Father and recognizing that it is as a result of the redemptive work of the Son that we can go directly into the throne room of grace and call the Father, Abba Father, because we are children who have been adopted and thus heirs. We're not natural sons, but we are adopted sons.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand." To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jenny listening in Front Royal, Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jenny.
Oh, hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you so much for your program and your wisdom, and just really appreciate how much I've learned listening to you. Is it possible to learn essential truth from a heretic like Joyce Myers? Because she speaks to my heart as a woman and in so many instances, and I hear truth in so much of what she says. I just know it in my heart.
Well, what we need to do as Christians is understand the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Be so familiar with the genuine that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And if you have that kind of discernment skill, sure, you can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, and you can listen to someone and gain the good. You eat the fish and spit out the bones. But it does take a great deal of discernment when it comes to Joyce Meyer, because she's teaching all kinds of bad theology with respect to what happens in generational curses and the whole word of faith notion that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith you can create your own reality. So if you're sick, well, your words created your problem. So if you can get by the nonsense, so to speak, sure, there's a lot that she says could be very helpful.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, bless you, Jenny. Thank you so much for your call and for your kind words as well. And I want to mention just another example of how the scripture gets twisted. I write about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and Joyce Meyer does this as well as Joel Osteen. What they say is that we are to call the things that are not as though they already were. So the basic idea is you'll hear Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen say, the Bible tells us that we are to call the things that are not as if they already were. Well, if you don't have discernment skills, you're going to fall for that. Now, what you should do when you hear someone like that say something like that is check it out in light of Scripture, hold fast to that, which is good. Because if you actually go to the text that they are supposedly quoting, which happens to be Romans 4:17, you find out that the text says something entirely opposite. It doesn't say that we are. It says that God is. In other words, the God who gives life calls things that are not as though they were. Now, that's a substantial difference. The faith teachers take that, turn it on its head, and the average person listening without a discernment in their heart or a discernment skill that they've learned will fall for the skin of the truth, stuffed with, in this case, a great big lie. I've written about this and much more in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. It is available through the Ministry of Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Buford, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Buford.
Thank you. Brother Hank, thank you for taking my call. I got your book on the populist code, so I listen to you quite often. I'm concerned about Mormonism.
Yes.
I've been waiting for you to more or less give us an in-depth overview of Mormonism. I had quite a bit dealing with them. I took three different groups to Nauvoo before the temple was dedicated, and I learned quite a bit. And the question that I asked them, what did you ever do for black people? And I got no answer. Then I read a book about one person that was preaching in that organization, and he was doing so well until they stopped him from preaching. And also said something on they believe in black people of Cain, of Cuss. I haven't heard that, but I read that someplace. And then another question, leaving that, I want you to tell me your views on the Church of Christ. They feel that they're the only one going to heaven. So I can listen to your answer.
Well, thank you so much for your call and for your witness. And let me say that I put together a flip chart called Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. And in Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage, I talk about what their teachings are respecting the Book of Mormon, which they believe is the most correct of any book on earth the keystone to their religion. As such, the Bible is not the most correct. In their view, the Book of Mormon is the most correct. But there I talk about what they teach with respect to the curse that was put on, quote-unquote, the black. And because of that, they could not enter the priesthood until conveniently they got a new revelation. And that is one of the problems, of course, with Mormonism, is they get new revelations that supersede old revelations. Therefore, if the new revelation is in contradiction to the old revelation, what was previously taught simply wasn't true. We have a completely different standard as Christians. We say the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. It's the North Star. It is what we can test all things by and hold fast to that which is good. Their goalpost continually moves because truth is continuously in a state of flux. So I think it's really important to recognize that when it comes to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, Mormonism completely undermines them, not only compromises, but outright contradicts essential Christian doctrine with respect to the nature of God, with respect to the personal work of Jesus Christ, with respect to what your authority is, with respect to salvation. For example, while Christians believe that they're going to stand before God dressed in spotless robes, the robes of Christ's righteousness, Mormons believe that they will appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons holding good works in their hands. And according to Latter-day Saints, virtually everyone qualifies for at least one of the heavens. They don't have just one heaven. They have a telestial, they have a terrestrial, and they have a celestial heaven. And then they have three levels to the celestial heaven. And if you get to the third level, you can be a god as God is now. God was once a man, and he became a god. You are now a man, and you can become a god. So again, I've outlined all of this in Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage, including information with respect to their eschatology, because they do believe that at the end, the Constitution will hang by a thread, and then a Mormon will come in on a white horse and rescue this democratic republic. And they believe that Jesus Christ is ultimately going to return. When he does, he is going to rule a Mormon theocracy, and he's going to be ruling from Independence, Missouri, as well as from Jerusalem. So he's going to have two campaign headquarters. One of them will be Independence, Missouri, where the new temple will be built and so forth. So they have a very unusual eschatology, which really comes to play in today's venue as well. Again, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Nathan, listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I wanted to know if ghosts are real and can demons possess Christians?
Well, ghosts are not real in that what happens when someone dies is they're absent from the body. And then as Jesus Christ depicts in Luke chapter 16 with the story that he tells of a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus lying by his gate, they're either in Abraham's bosom, which is a way of talking about being in fellowship with God, or they are in torment awaiting the final judgment. As far as demons possessing Christians is concerned, Christ himself precludes that possibility. Remember, I believe it's Matthew 12 where he asks the question, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first binds that strong man? Well, in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil. But in a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is obviously God. So the force of this argument leads to the conclusion that in order for a demon to possess a believer, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them. Now think about that. For a demon to possess a believer, they'd have to bind the Spirit of God in the believer. In other words, they'd have to bind God himself, perish the thought. That simply can't happen. So that argument alone, I think, is enough to preclude the possibility that a Christian can be demon-possessed.
Thank you.
You got it. And by the way, think about the Gospel of John in regard to this question as well. The Jews were once again accusing Jesus of being demon-possessed, and rather than circumvent their accusations, what Jesus does is he condescends to reach out with some reason. He says, I'm not possessed by a demon because I honor God. And the point there, again, is impossible to miss, because being demon-possessed and honoring God, therefore, are mutually exclusive categories. And one other point I would make in this regard, and that is Scripture does not contain a single credible example of a demonized believer. Instead, the consistent teaching of the Bible is that Christians cannot be controlled against their wills through demonic inhabitation. The principle is always the same. If you're a follower of Christ, the King himself indwells you, and you can rest assured that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We're out of time for today. We'll see you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.